It's a real delight to be here this morning and sharing in this service. And as I was sitting and listening and staring at a screen, which is an unusual way, isn't it, to meet together, I just felt a huge level of humility, just being aware of the things that I've prepared to share with you, linking in so much with the prayers that we've had this morning, that fantastic description from Lou of how it feels to be fearful, and just aware that God is speaking to us today. So as I talk now, I hope that this links together and it encourages you and speaks to you. Because it's lovely to be here today to join your first Advent service. And Advent's a positive time of year in many ways. Over the last few years, I've tried to be more intentional in the way that I use this time before Christmas, because it can be very busy. It can have a lot of stresses, and Advent just provides us with an opportunity to pause and to take stock as we wait for the point when we celebrate this amazing point in history and when God sent his son to us. I think it's really helpful time to do this because it allows us to look inside ourselves. Lou's talked a bit about this, to identify those cracks and places that are dark, those places that we need Jesus to help us with. And it just gives us time to reflect and look around at a world that is broken and where there is so much darkness. It's just really good to be reminded why Jesus came. He came to bring us light and he came to bring us freedom because we need him. Advent allows us to do that. So it's great to be able to share this message with you for your first Advent service. And today we're particularly looking at what it is to be fearful, what it means to be anxious. And we're just going to look at two passages now. The first one is one that you're going to be very familiar with, Christmas story. And the other one just picks up some verses from this theme that you're looking at that Chris Justice described so fantastically last week in his message around the team talk that Jesus gave his disciples from John. So, David, could you pop the screen up and then we can have a look at the passages? Thank you. So the first one that we're going to look at, I'm going to just read it through now, is this this part of the Christmas story right at the beginning when the angel comes to Mary, and it's from Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God." And then we're going to move on to John 14 now, which is part of the team talk that Chris introduced to us last week. And I picked two verses actually from this chapter, which I thought were really helpful. So the first one is verse 1. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then verse 27, another really beautiful verse. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So this whole area of fear, the children did really well, didn't they, describing some of their fears and what they do to try and overcome their fears. That was brilliant to hear that. And I'm just going to ask David now to pop onto the next slide. So I've got a couple of pictures here to share with you. We're going to talk about some of the fear around in the two gospel accounts that we've just read. But I'm going to share with you one of my own fears. And as I'm doing this, you might want to think of one yourself and how that makes you feel. So some of you looking at this picture at the bottom might wonder what it is. But it's basically an Olympic-sized swimming pool. with some very, very high diving boards. When I was about age 12, I just started secondary school and had swimming lessons. You know what I'm going to say next, don't you? The whole class was asked to go to the very top of the diving board and jump with instructions to hold your arms in because it hurts if you hit the bottom. Well, lo and behold, quite a number jumped off, but there was I on the edge of the diving board right at the top looking down. And at that point, I felt fear. And you might be able to relate to this. It kind of locks you down, doesn't it? It sort of paralyzes you. I just couldn't move. I just felt constricted. It was like everything stopped. It held me back. And then I had to do the walk of shame all the way back down the steps to the lowest diving board. Not a great memory of swimming lessons, but I just wanted to pop this in for you to just to think about what it means to be frightened. Lou's described this in a very deep way, which was really helpful. But there's these internal battles, isn't there, that go on inside of us, and they hold us back, they entrap us. And in fact, we can feel fear as communities as well, in a way that restricts us and helps us from being the full people that God has called us to be. So that was my first thought, just to share with you my own experience of a fear situation. And then we've got the stories from today. I love the picture at the top. It's a picture of Jesus with his disciples behind him, following behind. And at this point, you can imagine that they were totally signed up to the call that Jesus had given them to follow him, to follow the master, full of confidence in the future, full of confidence in Jesus and who he was. And yet Jesus shares this point with them about how it's going to be really difficult. He anticipates, he knows what's ahead of them in this passage in John, that within a few days, their whole life as a community is going to unravel, that there's going to be fear, that there's going to be isolation, that it's going to be really difficult for them. And Jesus speaks to them, preparing them for this experience to come. Again, that sense of fear, of being out of control, of not sure of where the future is going to take them. And then this lovely story at the bottom, this is a picture from one of the films of Nativity, and it just shows Mary at the point when she encounters Gabriel. I can't really kind of imagine what that must have been like for her. Can you imagine sort of just being around at home doing some chores? And then all of a sudden before you is an angel of the Lord, a mighty angel. She must have felt so frightened at that point as the angel Gabriel spoke to her. And then not only that, he brought her some very disturbing news. He told her that she was going to be pregnant, that the Holy Spirit would come over her, and that she would be pregnant with God's Son. I wonder at that point how she felt. The passage suggests that she was frightened, that she was perplexed at that point. Sometimes it's quite difficult for us to get our head around some of the feelings that there might have been at this point for her. But the angel was bringing her some really scary news. He was telling her that she was going to have a child out of wedlock, which at that point in history would have been a very frightening prospect for a young girl. We know that there might have been risk of Joseph divorcing her. And in fact, in Matthew, we know that Joseph thought about that. And that there was all the implications of what it might mean for her, the gossip. Potentially, she could have been stoned for this situation. She was really starting to have to step out into a risky scenario as she listened to Gabriel's message to her. No wonder she needed Gabriel to tell her not to be frightened at this point. So as I'm talking, I'm wondering if you're just thinking about fear, what it might mean for you. It's different, isn't it, for each one of us, but it's a universal emotion. And some of you listening today will be particularly fearful for different reasons and be struggling. These last few months, this last year has been a year of fear, hasn't it, for lots of people. And I know in my NHS role, I've had lots of conversations with staff that have been struggling with fear. And then Chris really helpfully spoke into some of these fears, didn't he, last week when he talked about this passage from John, the team talk. I felt he was really helpful prophetically lifting some things before us as a church around where we are over the next year as we wait for God to start to bring a new thing for all of us. Fear can be difficult. It can hold us back. But that's not how we were designed to be. It's not how God created us to be. So I just want to share a few things with you now, which might be help. So I think these two passages that we've looked at today, they bring huge words of hope to us. And we've already started to think about some of these themes already. And I just want to share the same thing again. It's kind of reinforcing what some people have already said today. But that's really exciting when the Holy Spirit does that. So it means that it's a message that we need to hear. So the first thing that I just wanted to share with you about these passages, you might just want to pop the next slide on, David, if that's okay, is that God is willing and he lovingly speaks into and over our fears. These passages show us that God turns our attention to us. He knows us intimately. And that beautiful psalm that was read by Emily earlier on just reveals God's heart for us, that he knows everything about us. He knows the fears that we show publicly to others, and he knows those deep fears that are within us that hold us back. God does not ignore these things. He doesn't push them aside. And in this story, he notices them. Gabriel says to Mary, doesn't she? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary. And Jesus says it twice in this passage in John. Do not be troubled. These are really very much words of courage. They're about not being intimidated. They're words of encouragement to not be upset, because God knows our heart. He knows our fears and he knows what we need. And into that fear, he speaks words of courage. He speaks words of love and he speaks words of peace, because God is for us. And as I was preparing for the message this morning, I was just reminded of these beautiful words from John, that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. God loves us, and as we allow his love to fill our lives, it drives out the fears that grip us. And then the next thing I wanted to share with you, do you want to pop the next slide on? Thanks, David. When I was looking at this passage in Luke from Mary, I've preached from this passage a couple of times. It's a lovely passage. But I became intrigued by the word favour that the angel says to Mary, and had a little look at that in the Greek to see what it might mean. And I was really delighted to find that the word for favour is the word charis, which some of you might know, but it means grace. Isn't that lovely to realise that that the Gabriel was saying to Mary, don't worry, don't worry. God has given you his grace. And that's the second thing I wanted to share with you, that this passage reveals to us that God shows his love to us through grace. And just like Mary, we are highly favoured. Grace is about a state of kindness. It's a gift that's given that isn't deserved. It's a blessing. It shows us that God is for us. And Ephesians tells us that it's been grace, by grace that we've been saved through faith. This is not something from ourselves. It's a gift from God. And it's really good, isn't it, just to think about gifts in this period of Christmas, as we're moving up to Christmas. But we have the most amazing gift that God has given to us, his gift of grace. And then I'm going to move on to the very final slide there, David, because this is the third thing I just wanted to share with you. That this is the amazing gift that God has given to us. As we wait, as we ponder, as we think about Christmas coming, it reminds us about this beautiful, wonderful gift that God has given us, that he has given the world, and that is Jesus. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. many of you will know that Jesus' name means one who saves. And Jesus, in this chapter in John, if you look at it later, John 14 tells us that he is the way, he is the truth and the life. Jesus is the full way to live without fear. And it's Jesus who shows the Father to us, the Father who loves us. As we look at Jesus, we see our Father in heaven. It's a wonderful thing that Advent speaks into the fact that we can have a relationship with God. God turns his attention to us. He loves us. He wants us to experience a life that is free from fear. But we can also know him. It's two ways. We can encounter him, and we encounter him through Jesus. It's interesting when you think about John 14, as Jesus spoke to his disciples, as he prepared them for the way ahead. He didn't try to take the difficulties away that they were going to face. But what he did say was that he would bring them company. He would bring them the Holy Spirit. He would bring them God's presence. And that's really helpful as we think about this whole aspect of fear. We talked a little bit about some of the challenges of this at The Graft. It was great to join The Graft this week. And we were just talking about some of the real challenges that as we step out in faith and as we share our faith, that can sometimes make life difficult. It can sometimes cause us to have to make sacrifices. But that as we follow, as we begin this life of walking with Jesus, we don't do this alone. He is with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And we have a purpose, we have a future, and it stretches into eternity. Jesus spoke those wonderful words that he's going ahead of us in this passage in John, that he's going to prepare a room for us. It's a word of encouragement to have courage into the future and hope. I just popped in this lovely quote that I love from Alistair McGrath that really talks into this sort of Advent time. It says, we don't have to climb a ladder into heaven in order to find God, to be with him, because God came down that ladder in order for us to meet with us where we are and take us back to him. God meets us right where we are. So three things just to think about as you think about today, as we think about this whole issue of how we navigate through our fears. God names and speaks love into our fears. He reminds us that we're highly favoured, that we're people who are have a gift of grace. And that gift is Jesus, his own son, who came down to earth to save us and free us from all the darkness and fear that's in our hearts. We're not alone. We have God's Spirit with us. God is for us. So as I finish up now, I just want to give you a couple of practical things that you might want to take hold of as we go into the week ahead, particularly if you're sitting here and feeling a little bit fearful at the moment. So my first observation that might be helpful just to think through is that if we purposefully invest time into a relationship, as we get to know someone, if we put the effort in, then trust begins and it grows. And as we trust someone, that reduces fear. And that's a real encouragement for us, that as we cultivate our relationship with God, as we take time in our spiritual lives to walk with him, it's that building of trust and faith that pushes out fear from our lives. It doesn't mean that we're not going to face difficulties or challenges. It doesn't mean that at points we might need to choose the more difficult way. But what it means is that as we walk with Jesus, as we trust in him, we don't need to fear. We can hold on to him and he is with us. And Mary got to that point, didn't she? She got to that point where she was able to just let go of her fear, to submit herself to the future that God had called her into. And at that point, she found peace. And not only peace, but it moved into this amazing song of praise, which we then read on, the Magnificat, which comes on next in the Bible story. She conquered her fear, and that ability to trust God filled her with a sense of praise and worship. And that's really encouraging. So there's certain things that we can do to cultivate a walking relationship with God. The first thing we can do is use prayer. Prayer is the most amazing tool that God has given to us. It allows us to bring our hearts, those dark bits of our hearts, before God and speak to him with honesty. And the Bible tells us that God hears us, he listens to us. And we can do that as individuals, can't we? And we can do that as a church community as we pray together. And that's a good thing today to do if you're feeling frightened, is just to come before God, ask God to, through his Spirit, to minister to you and to cast out fear from your heart. And the second thing I just wanted to encourage in you with is to use scripture. And it was really wonderful just to be listening into Jeffrey and Rosemary's life and all that they've done, bringing the words of God to others. Because God's word is amazing, isn't it? It's much more than words on a paper. It's dynamic, it's living, it changes us, it changes communities. We can take scripture to really help us in our fears. A year or two ago, I was particularly frightened about a future event, really feeling that real sense of fear gripping me. And I decided that I was just gonna not let this stop me and hold me back. So I actually claimed those verses that we read earlier from 1 John 4, that there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And again and again, I spoke those words of truth into that fear. And it's just such a powerful thing to be able to use God's word to challenge fear in our lives. So I'd really encourage you to do that if you're particularly facing something that's making you feel fearful today. And then the final thing is just a really practical thing. Sometimes we face fears that are just really difficult to manage on our own, and we need the support and love of Christian brothers and sisters to help us. And sometimes it's appropriate to speak to a trusted friend, to ask them to pray with you. Sometimes we need to seek counsel and get advice. And so again, it might be relevant for some people here, but do that. Do find help if it's something that you're really struggling with. Again, my own experience is that when I've done that, when I've spoken something out, it often loses the hold that it has on me. And it's great to be able to pray with brothers and sisters that you trust. So I'm going to finish up now. But as I do, I just want to encourage you as you move into your weeks that you might know God's love for you deep in your hearts, that really changes, that goes into the deep recesses of your hearts and addresses and speaks against fear. I just want to encourage you to remember that you are people of grace, that you are highly favoured, and that God loves you. And then finally, a real prayer for each one of us, that we can pray for each one of us as we go into the week, that God's presence might be with us, that we might see him in every part of our lives as we go into our lives at home and at work, in our families. God's presence reminded that he is with us, guiding us and speaking into our fears and bringing us his peace.